I am continuing in Genesis. I've been there for a while. I generally have this, sometimes I have a lot of difficulty trying to narrow it down to exactly what I want to say because I have too much to say, and that's one of these weeks. So I'm going to try to squeeze another slice in the loaf as best I can, and it will continue on next Sunday. The title of the message is Reaching Beyond the Curse, and I'm going to read the three so said curses, or the restraints, or the judgments, or the cutting off from, however you want to interpretate the word curse, which I'm not quite sure that that's a really a very good translation, but nevertheless, we have to deal with what we have. And so I'm going to read Genesis 3, 14, down to 19. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. And he will crush your head and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will make your pains of in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be to your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from, cursed is the ground before you because of you. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. From dust you are, and to dust you will return." I'm going to start out with an example that I think illustrates some of the problems that we have in this text. And I'm going to not read the whole story. I'm going to break it up a little bit. And because I want, as the story moves on, you're going to, hopefully, there's going to be a different picture created. And it illustrates basically where I want to go. A male and a female driver were involved in a horrific collision. So what are you thinking already? If I said it was just a male or just a female, you wouldn't probably, your mind probably wouldn't start working. But right away, it's a male and a female involved in a horrific accident. So your mind begins to start, right? Amazingly, both escaped unhurt, though their cars were totally written off. Okay, so up to this point, it's pretty well equal. Male and female had a crash. Both cars are totaled. It's equal. Now it begins to change. As they crawled from the wreckage, the man sees the woman is blonde and beautiful. Big mistake for a man. He looks on the outside and that's what he sees, right? Exactly. She turns to him and gushes breathlessly, bats her eyes at him, right? And things suddenly go haywire, right? Yeah, it does. We shouldn't have survived that. Maybe it's a sign from God that we were meant to be together. Seemingly, sensing he could be, I'll start over. My eyes are not focusing real well. Sensing he could be on to a good thing, the man stammered back and said, "Oh yes, I agree completely." Typical male response, isn't it? Yeah. Oh yeah, man, we're moving in, right? "And look," she continues, "though my car was totally destroyed, this bottle of wine is intact, too. It's another sign. Let's drink it to our love." The woman's mind is starting to go. "Well, okay," said the man, going with the moment. She offers him the bottle. He throws back half the bottle and hands it back to her and says, "Your turn." "No, thanks," says the woman. "I'll wait for the police." Smart. There you got the picture of Genesis, our traditional sense. So I'll add a little bit more to the story, and I'll say they were both arrested. They were the judge sentenced them both to community service for 1,000 hours. Yeah, I just made that up. You begin to see the problem in Genesis. There's a lot of manipulation going on, and one thing leads to another. Now, I said last Sunday the word curse is really, I think, a bad translation. I think it's as bad as where up where it says that Yahweh, the God of Israel, hated Isaac but loved Jacob. I think that's a bad translation too. I think that there are certain places along the way in which our English translation is really bad. And I think this is one of them in which the word curse is used. It's really a cutting off of or restraining from or a judgment. And it's not like somebody passed a curse and traditionally as we understand a curse. At least that's not how I see it. Now, I want to give you an overview of what is traditionally understood in the Genesis text. We've been in it for a while. And so I want to give an overview of a traditional sense. Most of you who have been here regularly know that I'm not in agreement with what I'm going to say, but nevertheless, this is the traditional view. And so you have to start from something, and again, you have to put a slice each week. You only have 15 minutes, and so I have only a limited amount of time. We'd be here forever if I kept going on and on. So the traditional view is this. There's two creation stories. First of all, in Genesis 1, he creates the universe and human, male and female. And then things start to go a little haywire. Then it says that man, just the male, supposedly traditionally, was placed in this garden to watch over it. He named the animals. And in the end, he needed a helpmate. And here's where a woman comes in, and traditionally it's understood as a female. And so from the rib of the man, the woman was created, the female aspect was created, and man was supposed to rule over her. She was supposed to be under his dominion. But the idea was that a serpent, which, again, sometimes some of this stuff doesn't make any sense, but nevertheless, this is what is put out. The serpent is seen as the devil, which I don't agree with, but nevertheless, traditionally, it's understood as the devil. So the devil came and tempted the woman, and the woman ate the fruit and gave it to her husband, and thus the fall of humanity. And it's generally traditionally understood that it's a woman's fault. She deceived a man and thus fell into sin.
It was the snake's fault.
Well,
doesn't say snake.
Doesn't right.
Say snake.
It's a serpent. We'll get to that in a second. Well, I've already said it numerous times already, what I think the serpent. But nevertheless, traditionally, that's the way it's understood. And so it is blamed on the woman. They were found to be naked. They realized that they didn't have any, and they wanted to cover themselves up. They realized they were sexual beings. And so they, out of all of this, the curse comes. So the Lord says to the serpent that says to the devil, you're going to be cursed, and there will be enmity between you and the woman. And here's traditionally, I will frankly tell you, I can't make no sense out of it. I never really could. It gets all fuzzy and blurry, and they squeeze in things, and I call it script torture. They torture the scripture in order to make it work. And believe me, if you don't think that's true, you haven't done much history in the study of theology. And so they come to the point where it says, I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between her offspring. And then they say that where it says, he will crush your head, and he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. That's supposed to be the idea that Christ is coming in and stepping on the devil's head. That is what's traditionally understood. I'm not sure, again, it doesn't make any sense. I agree with the rabbi that I referred to many times, I went on YouTube, who says the stories don't make sense. And if you don't understand them literally, they're really hard to make understand. And thus, the woman gets cursed, and she labors through childbirth, and she's subservient to the man. And then they leave the garden, and they go out into the world. And thus, the woman is lowered, and man is higher, and that idea is prevalent today, all the way through. I think we fight over ideas and views, and I think that we should view Scripture like I go onto Google Maps. When I look at something and I want to find my destination and I want to see where the street is, where the building is, I can focus down until I only see the building, and that's it. I can see the driveways and I can see everything else, but I can't see nothing else. I think too often we're focusing on one little spot. The more you zoom back up, the more you see, the more you see. And sometimes all you see is the trees. After a while, you don't see too much. But for me, you have to move in and out of Scripture. You have to go down into it. You have to come back up. You have to go down back into it. You have to oscillate in and out in order to get a picture. It's hard to understand. And I think you understand what I'm saying. What I believe is that you have about four characters in here. You have the Lord God, you have the serpent, you have the woman, and you have man, or humanity. These three, four characters are moved around and mean different things. Connie and I don't agree on how to move these ideas, I call nutshells, around on the board. But in the end, we come out in basically the same place. I'm not sure which is right, which is wrong, and I'm not here to tell you which was right and which was wrong. She believes that, and I'm sorry, I'm going to share your idea, that they were meant to eat from the tree. That otherwise they would have remained illiterate, and they wouldn't have had any kind of knowledge. Okay. But you still, as you move that around, you still end up with humanity living on the planet. You still have an issue. I'll share with you this morning again what I believe. We have some new visitors here, and I'm going to say, explain. Serpent is not the devil. It is not the devil. It is not a snake. It's none of the above. Serpent worship was the earliest type of worship known to mankind. I have discovered that out in Ohio, in southern Ohio, there's an effigy made on the whole side of the mountain of a serpent that represents serpent worship. It's the biggest in the world. I didn't know that until a couple weeks ago. It's interesting. Somebody's Googling it. She'll find it. I don't know the name of the town, but it's southeast of Chillicothe, out in there somewhere. And that was the oldest known type of worship that there was. The serpent represents rebirth,
immortality.
Very good. Thank you for helping me out. I have it written here somewhere. Immortality and rebirth and immortality,
regeneration.
And so it was an early form of understanding life hereafter. It was an idea and a concept that native peoples had for many, many years. So it's a type of thought and a type of system. Now, if Moses rose up the serpent on a staff and everybody looked at it, and the ones that looked at it were healed. And again, John refers to this story and says, just as the serpent was lifted up in the desert, so Christ must be raised up and humanity must gaze upon him. I added them words. If the serpent was the devil in Genesis, then the devil heals. And that flies flat in the face of all Christianity. So the serpent has to be something else. It's obvious. It's a way of thinking, a way of believing. It's a thought system. It's a tree in the garden, which are the trees in the garden are thought systems, paradigms of thought. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil is a system of thought. There's where we're trapped at. We're trapped in that spot. And it's a woman's fault. I was hoping I could get somebody to respond.
We're used to that. All our lives, it's been our fault.
Now, before I go on, I ask you this question. How many of you women actually believe you're less than a man? There's probably none of you in here that do.
I didn't say I believed it.
No, I understand that. So none of you do. And I'll bet you if you ask a lot of women, and if they're honest, they'll say, I'm not less than a man. But here we are for how many thousands of years we're taught this? We're taught this stuff. You're less than a man. Yes.
Woman was made from the rib, not from his foot.
And that's why her children are riblets.
What? Oh, riblets? Oh, well, the idea, I go back to Genesis 1, women were created equal in that story. Male and female created he them. There's an equality right there. So now why would you want to change that and say in chapter 2 and 3 that women are demoted? What is, huh?
Men want it that way.
There's a lot of influence that men had in the translation. I would agree with that. And again, an idea is promoted by the translation. That's not a new idea. What depends on which translation you have, depends on what idea the translator has. A translation is only good as the understanding as the translator has. And believe me, it's been manipulated and tortured in a way to make it work for them. And if you don't believe that, you haven't studied theology very much. And we have to have an open idea. It was never meant to understand it in such a literal fashion. So the serpent becomes a way of thinking, a way of believing, in which at one time was connected to God. Now, for those who have probably heard this from the first time, is Elohim is plural. I believe in the God of many, that in the creation. So if you want to understand God in the Bible, you have to understand God as many. And even up to the time of the Babylon, when the temple was destroyed the first time, the Israelite people believed in many gods. That was, yes. That's my idea of one in the Bible is infinite plus singular. One God, capitalized, does not mean it's singular, one point, some gray-haired man sitting up on a throne. Or a woman, heaven forbid. So the idea that God's came here in Genesis to create humanity is biblical. It's not just one being that came here and manipulated us in the whole process.
That's why I said there was two gods in that garden that day.
Well, it can be. In your version, it is. And that's okay. That's okay. I'm not saying you're wrong. Lord God. What does that mean? What does Lord God mean?
Yahweh of my translation of that. When you look in the Hebrew, Lord God is Yahweh Elohim, which is Yahweh of the Elohim. That's my translation of it when you look in the Hebrew.
And you studied Hebrew?
Yes.
So it's plural.
Yeah.
It's plural.
God is plural.
God is plural.
Yes.
So again, here's another way in which we have tortured scripture to mean it was one white-haired old man. And it was never meant to be that to start off with. But yet again, in order to constrain thought, this is how it progressed. Again, if you don't think it's been manipulated many times. as we were talking out there. And then you get denominations that want to divide it up even more yet for power. It's a mess. So I see the serpent again as being a thought system. So what happened? Way I see that, help me out here. You are, cursed are you above all livestock and wild animals. Now, doesn't that say that the serpent was lowered to above the animals? Am I incorrect? Come on, you got some thinking people here.
Read it again. Yeah.
It says, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. Now you tell me what that means. Come on, you're thinking people. You're educated people. What does that mean?
That he's more cursed than the animals.
Huh?
That he's more cursed than the animals and livestock.
I know, that's what you told me. She says that the serpent was cursed below the animal.
I agree with Tony.
You're a woman.
I'm in the mood for an argument. Let's go. Come on.
Well, if you want an argument, going back to what you said about Colleen thought that the tree of knowledge was supposed to be
knowledge of good and evil.
Was supposed to be
valid.
There was also other trees in the garden.
That means there was a world outside.
Tree of light. The tree of light and life was there, life. And it says that those two are mentioned along with other trees in the garden. So there was other ways of thinking, other paradigms of thought, and where they were not supposed to eat from the duality. That is traditionally how it's understood. They were in ignorance. I agree. I agree with what you say, you too, that humanity was created in a sense of clean slate. I really messed that one up. Clean slate. Yes.
Yes, but don't you think that humanity was deceived?
You mean like the example that I gave in my story?
Yes.
The story depicts a certain sense of deception, yes. Yes.
So they were set up then.
Yes.
In order to fail.
Yes. I think when the Lord God or the group of God said, don't eat from that tree, they knew that we would. It's just like kids. Don't eat no candy. What are we going to eat? Candy. It's bad for your teeth. We're going to eat candy.
So what God do you believe in the garden?
Huh?
So what God do you believe in the garden? Because I think there was two gods in the garden.
I think there was a few myself.
He said,
I think they sat back and chuckled and said,
die,
oh, what are they going to do? Go ahead, I'm sorry. Right?
When the one God said, you will surely die if you eat from this, and the other one said, oh, you won't die.
Okay.
Did they die?
No. Okay. I think that was a serpent. The serpent asked the question, did God really say?
Did God really say that?
Okay, so that puts a sense of doubt, a sense of question. It gets you to reflect inwardly on what really was said. Now, if someone comes up and I say something to you, Connie, and you say, well, is that really what you said? Well, then that makes me back up and say, did I really say that? Or did I really think that? Or, you know, it sets off doubt in my mind.
I say that to you all the time. That's not what you said.
But you could be wrong, too.
No, not there.
Well, I'm not going to get into that argument, but that's a, I won't win.
That's not what you said.
So a sense of doubt was asked, and I've said what the serpent said was true, that humanity was not going to die, because the serpent already had the understanding of rebirth,
immortality,
regeneration. That was already on the field, and so it already knew. So, in a sense, it was true, but what was not given was all the suffering in the duality was not really portrayed.
No, because our eyes were open and we became like the gods. Now we had the power to reproduce. Before, we didn't have the power to reproduce.
Yeah, because we realized that we were naked, we were sexual beings, we wanted to cover up ourselves with fig leaves. Okay. I lost my point.
So therefore we could create again. We could create, not again, but now we could.
Okay, so if we became like God, so is that not a reflection on the Elohim, the many?
Because I think they were a different type of people than the other people outside of the garden.
See how complicated it gets? See how complicated it gets?
But did the serpent know of redemption?
The idea itself promoted that idea. I don't know about redemption as we know it, but it understood life as a regeneration. You should know a little bit about serpent. Yeah, it depicts a regeneration, a re-life, a new life, a continuation of life of some sort. There's a continuation of it.
Healing, I mean.
We use it, the doctors use it on the staff with two serpents. The way they get the devil is they go the whole way to Revelations, and in Revelations it says the dragon, which is the devil, and then they back technology it, they torture the scripture, and they come the whole way back here to Genesis and say, well, that's the devil. And I don't think you can do that. I think you have to understand scripture in relationship to itself.
But that wasn't written the same time as Genesis, so at one time, did people not read how it is being taught today?
Oh, yeah. Even in Christianity, the idea of literally understanding the Bible literally is a late-day thing.
But the books of the Bible weren't all written at the same time.
No.
The New Testament is.
And then,
no, beyond the New Testament, the Old Testament was written in pieces to start, correct?
Right. But it was oral for the longest time.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, as many traditions were, they were all oral. So there's a certain value in oral reading of a text. It's between, the Spirit moves in a way in different ways. We have stifled that. The Christian church, we have stifled that, for sure. We have killed the spirit of the scripture, in my opinion.
And one problem that people have currently, I think, is to take it all literally.
Yeah.
And if you read the gifts of the Jews, ancient people understood metaphorical language and the truth in fables, for instance.
Right. And we always have to believe there's a good guy and a bad guy.
That's because we're trapped in this duality.
Well, you have somebody to blame it on. I mean, he says it was her fault, and she says it was the serpent. So, who's the serpent going to blame it on?
How many of us accept responsibility for our actions? Just automatically. Two hands went up. We have a tendency to say, well, that caused me to do it. That's part of the duality. We live in that duality.
Yes, but without knowing duality, we're ignorant.
Yeah?
We're
still
like
ignorant,
that.
I think.
In every situation, you have choices. Even though they may be very limited, you do have choices. Mm-hmm. So, while we may be moved by circumstances, it still comes down to we are responsible for what we do.
Okay, so that's one of the traditional ways of viewing this story is that mankind was disobedient. And so that was the beginning of disobedience.
I don't think it was disobedience.
That's the traditional way of seeing it. The woman was disobedient, man was disobedient, so humanity is disobedient.
Well,
So it's the beginning of disobedience.
That's why you're the guy to eat this. Open your eyes. You're being duped.
Isn't this beautiful?
As long as we can blame it on somebody else.
I'll lay out the rest over here. The woman is wisdom. As far as I'm concerned, wisdom, if you go into the Old Testament, wisdom is female, it's wisdom. Our helpmate of humanity was wisdom. So getting back to, we would have been ignorant, yes, but also our helpmate was wisdom. That both male and female, forget this gender stuff that you want to put into the text. There's no gender in this part right here. So both male and female got wisdom as a helpmate. We need a helpmate, and that's wisdom, an accumulation of wisdom. And so during this whole curse thing, wisdom, I'll just make it quick because we're getting long. Wisdom is woman who no longer was attached to God or the gods, Elohim, is now attached to man. And no matter how you think of it, wisdom is very hard to get and accumulate. So the words pains in childbearing are very severe, meaning that wisdom will be very hard to come by. It's an illustration using words that we understand. So wisdom is going to have, and it'll be painful labor to give birth to a child. It's going to be, a child is the beginning of an idea, and to grow that into adulthood. And then it comes to the man, or humanity, not man, male. All our technology comes out of the ground. We don't have a connection above. So even though the serpent was tied back into the ground, humanity is tied back into the ground, we don't have a heavenly connection, so to speak. Now, how are you going to disagree with that?
I could.
You probably could. Where does our technology come from? It comes from the earth. Every object we have comes from the earth. We're earthbound. Our knowledge comes out of the earth and is accumulated to the woman, which is wisdom. We are cut off from the heavenly realms.
That connects us to the heavenly realms.
What does?
The woman connects us to the heavenly realms.
I'm trying to say what the text says. You may think woman is connected to the heavenly realms because you think women are a little bit better than men because they have more of a spiritual compassionate
component.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not going to argue that one. Not right now, I'm not. Do I?
On the way home. A lively lunch conversation.
We do it all the time. It's no big deal. If we both agreed, it would be boring.
It's not an argument, it's a discussion. Right.
All right. I have to close because we're getting over on time, I'm sure. Anybody want to make a comment? It'll be continued next week, and I'll try to get down into a little bit more closer into it. We didn't talk about the skin, you know, the animal skins. You know, in the end, traditionally, it's understood that Lord God killed animals, but doesn't really say that, and put skin around it as a garment. I haven't even touched on that.
Well, that's good. Huh? Thank you.
Okay. Anybody have something you want to say? Are we long enough? I'll say amen for right now.